Support for this program is provided by Chevron.
When voting in person in the state of Georgia, you must have a photo ID. It only makes sense for the same standard to apply to absentee ballots as well.
Governor DeSantis is set to sign a bill into law adding more restrictions to voting.
Indiana is considering changes to its voting laws. The bill that has already passed the state Senate comes on the heels of the controversial voting changes that happened in Georgia that caused...
Multiple states have passed laws mandating identification requirements or limiting mail-in voting. Some laws have even gone as far as not allowing food and water to be distributed to people online waiting to vote, which is a problem in many states where voting lines are notoriously long.
The Montana Democratic Party is suing over two bills tightening rules for voters in the state immediately after Governor Greg Gianforte signed them into law.
These laws are most likely to impact people of color, whether intentionally or unintentionally. That is the case, and that is why they are so concerning to both voting rights activists and environmental advocates, because of the fact that people of color are more likely to support climate and clean energy policies. In effect, restricting their voting rights restricts their ability to support those policies with the weight that they would normally do so.
This is Politico Energy. I'm Anthony Adragna. In the months following the 2020 election, state legislatures across the country have passed voting laws that are expected to limit the ability of minority groups to participate in future elections. Today, Politico Deputy Energy Editor Gloria Gonzalez on the impact of these laws on the future of climate policy. It's Wednesday, July 28th. Perhaps counterintuitively, in terms of people making the connection, you're reporting that these laws may actually have an impact on the ability to get climate and clean energy provisions done. Talk a little bit more about that.
Communities of color are far more likely than white communities to support specific climate actions, such as renewable energy standards, climate-focused infrastructure, even direct carbon pollution limits in coal communities. And so because of the fact that they're more likely to support these laws, when their voting rights are restricted, that weakens their ability to support climate action being pursued both by the Biden administration and congressional Democrats.
How worried are advocates based on your reporting?
They're very worried about this. These voting rights restriction laws have taken hold in more than a couple dozen states, and they have gotten traction in some areas where people of color have dominant populations within the state borders. So it is particularly concerning because of the fact that these state laws are being adopted at a very quick rate. And unfortunately, the efforts to stop these types of voting restrictions at the federal level seem to have stalled. And so the state law restrictions are continuing to be adopted unabated.
Gloria, how surprised should we be to see green groups get involved in this? Is this a natural space for the environmental movement to throw its weight around?
It is very interesting because it's not an obvious connection, right? But the data all shows that people of color are aligned with a lot of the policies that the climate and environmental community are most in favor of, you know, clean energy standards. Some would go as far as a stricter renewable energy standard that would not allow for carbon capture and sequestration or nuclear, for example. And so the alignment is a natural fit, if not, you know, it's not terribly obvious, but it is very much a natural fit. And environmentalists do see this, the voting rights issue, as their fight as well, as much as it is an environmental fight. One of the things that has been most concerning in recent weeks was the fact that the Supreme Court issued a ruling in a case in Arizona that basically took a very narrow view about when state voting practices can be held to violate the rights of people of color.
In a major test of the landmark Voting Rights Act, the court took up two restrictions in Arizona, one allowing the state to throw out votes cast in the wrong precinct, and another that said only voters, their family members, or caregivers can turn in a person's mail ballot. Democrats said both made it harder for minorities to vote. But by a vote of 6-3, with the court's liberals dissenting, the court upheld the restrictions.
The Supreme Court seemed to acknowledge that this particular regulation had a disproportionate impact on people of color, but they didn't feel like it was extensive enough that it would rose to the level of being illegal under the Voting Rights Act. That raised a lot of concerns about, you know, potential challenges to more recent legislation, such as the Georgia law. The Justice Department is suing the state of Georgia over that particular bill. But given what the Supreme Court said in the Arizona case, there is a lot of concern about whether or not that particular litigation is going to be successful in terms of overturning Georgia's voting rights bill.
Also, on Tuesday, the Senate cleared a key procedural hurdle for Tracy Stone Manning's nomination to lead the Bureau of Land Management, setting up a final vote as early as Wednesday. Stone Manning, who was nominated in April, previously worked as the director of Montana's Department of Environmental Quality and was chief of staff for Montana's former governor, Steve Bullock. The parties are bitterly divided on her nomination, with Republican senators calling into question her links to a fringe environmental group who'd spiked trees to protest logging in Idaho back in 1989, and Democrats describing her instead as a pragmatic environmental regulator. Stone Manning, who had admitted she mailed a warning of the tree spiking on behalf of the protesters, got immunity and testified against two of the tree spikers. Upon confirmation, Stone Manning is set to navigate President Biden's plan to limit oil production on federal lands and land preservation projects. Separately on Tuesday, the Senate confirmed Todd Kim, a veteran federal litigator, to lead the Department of Justice division responsible for prosecuting environmental crimes. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. And for your dose of politics and the ins and outs of Washington, join Raghu Manavalan every morning at the Politico Playbook Daily Briefing. In 5 minutes, Raghu will get you up to speed with what's really going on in the nation's capital. I'm Anthony Dragna, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Did you know that Chevron supports the ambitions of the Paris Agreement? In fact, they've even tied their executives' compensation to lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations. Because it's only human to help power a brighter future.